Good to see you tonight. We're going to be back in 1 John. We got out of James and he beat me up pretty good. And then we got to 1 John. And 1 John started out real nice and loving and I like it a lot. Then he hits on the sin part. And that's always hard. And some of that. But I really enjoyed studying and looking through these series here, going through these small books of the Bible and all culminating, leading up to the revelation and how that we're going to see very soon, I believe, the Lord's return and taking us home and all that comes with that. And I hope you're excited about that. Take time to read again the book of Revelation often to encourage you and remind you that we're on the victory. We're on the winning side. 1 John, though, we looked at last week and began and looked at the real life that's available to every individual if they'll accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if they'll follow in that. And he says, and I won't read all of it, but it's manifested, this life, if you will, that we can have fellowship and our joy be full. I love that. This fellowship we can have with the Lord. Now, tonight, there is an enemy to this life, to this walk with God, as you know, and I know. It's that little nasty three-letter word, sin. And it often will keep us from our walk with Him and keep us from where we need to be. Again, verses, if you will, 1-4 of the chapter, they present the life that is truly real that we can have for ourselves. It's openly revealed to us. It is experienced, and it is then to be shared with other people. We know that. God wants us to receive this life, and He wants us to enjoy it. God desires for Christians to enjoy their life, not only the life to come, obviously, but the life now. And if we're not careful, we didn't lose that joy. We don't have a joy, a happiness. We often use, and I always differentiate between happiness and joy. They're different, but truly, having a joy about us in our walk with Him. We need to be careful about that and understand God's given us this relationship, this real life. Enjoying this life involves fellowship. And the conditions to fellowship we saw last week are obedience, love, and the truth. We'll read some of those this week. But there's conditions to that fellowship. The emphasis then changes in later in the book in chapter 3 to sonship. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Sonship is revealed by obedience, love, and truth. Isn't that interesting? It's revealed. We truly can see that we're a true child of God. Now, why does God use this test for fellowship and for the sonship? The answer is very practical. God made us. He made us in His own image. We have a personality patterned after His. Is that not amazing to think about? You and I are in the image of God, now not per se physically. Some people say, well, God looks just like a man. We know God is a spirit. But everything about a man, I shouldn't say everything, most things about a man, personality and otherwise, patterned after His. And we know that. Love and truth, as we'll see, joy and happiness and those things that we're supposed to have, He also has. We know there's hurt and there's other things. We have a mind to think, emotions to feel, a will, which is for us to make decisions. And real life involves all three of the elements of this personality. When we're born of God through faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and lives forever. As we fellowship with God through our Bible, through Bible study and prayer, and yield ourselves to that Spirit, He's then able to direct our minds, emotions, and will. That's very clear. When we are spending the time with Him in Scripture and in prayer and all those things that we're supposed to be doing, in that obedience, in that love, in that truth, He then controls. We yield ourselves to Him. We know that. This life is real. It continues with fellowship. First, we're born of God, and then we walk with God. But as soon as we begin our walk with God, we discover that real life has a real enemy. Just as a child, right? They're born, they start to walk, and then there's problems. There's problems from the beginning, but they hit about 2 years old, and boy, the terrible twos, or whatever the case would be. Beyond that, there's problems. They fall down, they get hurt, they have problems. Just as we do. We know that. There is an enemy. 9 times it's mentioned in our text we're going to see here a little bit here. Now, let's go verse 5. We kind of left off in that region. Verse 5, this then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, as we'll see here tonight, a couple things. We must deal with sin. God clearly desires for us to live a clean and holy life. You know that. One of the contrasts between light and darkness, we know. God is light, sin is darkness. The other is the contrast between saying and doing. Notice that. You say, but you don't do. James, we talked about that. James said that. Don't be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He says, be a doer, implementing, using it. Now, four times John writes, if we say, the quote, if we say, or he that saith. There must be more than just talk to our Christian life. We must walk. Our lives must show that. And our fellowship with God and all of those things. So again, talking about this. Now, a few things here. If we are to enjoy this life that's real, we must deal correctly with this area that we read tonight. Now, one, we must not try to cover our sins. He says, if we confess our sins, he will, what? Forgive us. He's faithful. He will cleanse us. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar. Now, that's not referring, as you know, to I've never sinned before. Maybe you've talked to a couple people and say they've never sinned. There's some doctrines out there and other beliefs that say that man doesn't sin, and that's a blatant lie. You know that. But it's talking more about sinning a sin and not admitting it, right? Not confessing it. Well, I did. I didn't sin that bad. I didn't do that. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. When he saved us, God called us out of the darkness into his light. Not our light, his light. 1 Peter 2:9, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 13. All of this referring to that we are now children of the light. Come to the light. In the 70s in particular, there was a group of people, you know, the children of light, I think they were called, or the light children, something. They were the hippies and they, you know, Jesus people. And they did some good, I think, but some of their doctrine was very off. Coming back to this, of understanding the correct understanding of sin, if you will. We try to cover our sin by telling lies. We know that. Number one, we lie to others. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, who are we saying that to? We're saying that to other people. Oh, I have fellowship with God. I'm okay with the Lord. I'm okay. I'm where I'm supposed to be. We lie to others by pretending to be spiritual when we're not spiritual. We come into the church and we don't obviously start to confess everything to everyone here. We're not that bad, but we do come in and we want to act spiritual. There's times we need to act spiritual when we're not spiritual, but we have to be careful. You know that by covering our sin, he says, don't cover it. Don't lie to others. Secondly, we lie to ourselves. He says, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive who? Ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We've covered that before. James talks about deceiving ourselves. Obadiah talks about deceiving ourselves. Proverbs repeatedly talks about deceiving ourselves. And so we know that. One of the biggest, I can deceive myself. Very good. I don't know what it is, isn't it? But other people can see it. And you know that. It is not far from deceiving others to deceiving self. It's a very short distance, if you will. It is possible to sin and fool yourself for a little while. We lie about our fellowship. We say, I'm walking in the light when we're not. We lie about our capabilities, maybe, saying, I couldn't do that by way of sin. I would never do that. We lie about our actions. What I did was not sinful. And that always comes back to, there are some things that are not sinful that we think are sinful. We find out the truth in the Bible, don't we? There are things that are truly sinful, we think are not sinful. There are things that are not sinful. Right? We may think, oh, that's not good to do. So said who? Said whoever told you that growing up, or this false thing that you believed growing up, or someone taught you that was not doctrinal or biblical. So we have to come back to the Bible. You know that. And understanding there are some convictions, or I should say standards, that some churches hold to that believe are sinful. They're not sinful. We don't believe some of those things are sinful. I won't get into all that. Some of you folks have a couple things that just went off in your head. You know, they're not sinful. We have to be careful about that and understanding it. And all that is there, I won't go into that. But we must understand, we can lie to ourselves. We can lie about those things, those lies, those sins. We try, thirdly, to lie to God. Notice verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make who? We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I haven't sinned. I don't have sin. And people say, well, that's not what the Bible says. So someone's lying here. It's God. Did God lie, or are you lying? We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. There were several people in the New Testament during the time of Christ that tried to make Jesus a liar, didn't they? They said, well, you said that. And Jesus said, I didn't say that. Well, the word says that you're supposed to be this and that. Prophecy, speaking of prophecy, Jesus said, you're wrong on that. You need to go back and read it again. And they tried to make him a liar and point him out. You know, the trial that comes, the false and illegal trial of Jesus. They pointed out several things that Jesus said. They brought in, you remember, some young girl they brought in. And then they brought in another man and said, now tell this lie about Jesus. And they did. He said this and that. Jesus said, I never said that. I never said that. And understanding that, never got a speedy trial, never got anything that he was supposed to get. So again, we make him to be a liar. We contradict his word. We apply it to others, but not to ourselves. Oh, something that I must be so careful. All of us must be so careful about applying it to others, not ourselves. Let me say, letter B here. We soon learn that this is very costly, very costly. Real life that we're trying to live, this real life with God, demands honesty with ourselves. Honesty, others, and with God. No phony baloney, no role playing, but rather sincerity. Dishonesty costs many things, cost us. Dishonesty costs us, we lose the word. The Bible ceases to be a blessing. We stop doing the truth. We just stop doing it. We know that. Verse 6, we walk in darkness. We stop having the truth. Verse 8, again, we stop, we deceive ourselves, we turn to truth, the truth into lies, truth into lies. We lose the word, we lose fellowship. Again, with God, worship is dull, prayer is empty, Bible reading is mundane and boring. What's happening? Your fellowship is gone. Your walk with God is gone. And we have to be careful about that. Now, this is all coming back to, it's very costly, the sinfulness in our lives. We lose fellowship with others and with other believers. We criticize other believers. We avoid other people, especially the brotherhood, the brethren that may be holy people or right, seemingly righteous people. We avoid it. That's why a lot of people, they refuse, or I shouldn't say refuse, they don't come to church maybe like they should. A lot of it has to do with that. Well, I don't want to come be around all those hypocrites, you know. Well, maybe the hypocrite is that person, right? You. And thinking about that, they criticize all these things. Lose fellowship. We can lose energy. All our effort goes to pretending, and pretending to be something we're not. You don't have to pretend, do you? You don't have to follow through with that. You learn and live for Him, right? And looking at that, walking with Him. Now, whatever it is in your life, we lose character. A verse here, notice chapter 2, verse 4, he says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You see that in verse 4 there? Everybody got their Bible? Verse 4, good. He says, now, I know him. No, you don't. You don't. Understanding this, notice, we lose our character. Begins by telling lies, ends up becoming a liar. Just that's who you are in your character. It's who you are. God warns us several times, many times. Proverbs 28:13 was one. Listen, he says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He's not going to develop, grow, be successful. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We do a lot of confessing if you're like me, but not a lot of forsaking. Oh, I know I did that, Lord. It was wrong. I shouldn't have done it, but I don't forsake it. Go right back and do it the next time, the next day. And all of those things. We got to be careful. David tried to cover his sins. It cost him his health. We know that. It cost him his health, Psalm 32. Cost him his joy, Psalm 51. You know that very well. Cost him his family. He almost lost the kingdom, except he repented, didn't he? He pleaded with God, and God answered him. If we want to enjoy this life, the real life that's real, we must never try to cover our sins. Now, you know all that. Let's go number two. We must confess our sins. Now, this is important. This is very important. We cannot cover our sins, but we must confess them. What is confession? A very clear definition. It is not just admitting sin. It's not just admitting sin. Now, very interestingly, I found here that Judas admitted his sin, didn't he? He admitted it. I'm sinful. I messed up. You remember? What did he do? He came back into the temple and gave the change back, the money. Here, take this back. I messed up. They said, whatever, fine. We don't care. The blood's on your hands, right? He goes out and hangs himself. Well, he admitted his sin. That's not confession. Confession is. It is not making excuses. Now, we know Saul did that. 1 Samuel 13 in particular. He made excuses. Samuel said, why didn't you do what God said? He said, well, I did. Why is there the sheep I can hear in the background over there? I can hear the bleeding of the sheep. He says, well, the people did that. I warned them not to do it, but they did it. Right? They did it. Blame shifting. He did it. One thing we must be careful of, excuses. Admitting it, excuses. Thirdly, it's agreeing with God about the sin. Naming the sin. Agree with God that it is sinful. You are guilty. Apologize to Him for hurting Him. Just apologizing. That's confession. Bringing it before the Lord. Bringing it clearly to Him. Now, where do we confess? We confess, you know that, to God. He is the one that's offended. All sin is against God. Hebrews 4:16 is very clear on that. All sin is against God. That's clear. Everything we do, sinful, is against Him, isn't it? We come back to that. And when you admit that, confess it to the one you've offended, then you can begin to work towards the other steps. To any person we've offended, Matthew 5:23, wherever we may have have been when we convicted of sin, whatever we may have been doing, and on we could go. And what happens when we do confess? God is faithful, notice, and just to forgive and to cleanse. Now, I'm going to turn to John 8. You can go there if you want to, but you don't have to. John 8, because I like what he says here in particular. Let me find it. John 8, verse 7. Now, this is when the woman comes and that was brought in with having supposedly committed adultery. John 8, 7. So when they continued to ask him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted, notice, by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, notice this, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Isn't that interesting? God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. He says to the woman, I do not condemn you anymore. Now go and what? Sin no more. Since I've forgiven you of your sins, you ought not to go back to that old lifestyle and sin again. Now many scholars believe that she was used as just an example. She was probably not actually committing adultery, but they probably just pulled her out, used her in some kind of way and accusing her of that. But he says to her, sin no more. Do not go back. When you have not been condemned by God, you have a desire not to go back. We must confess our sins. He's faithful. He's just. He's faithful because we have an advocate. And he's just because we have propitiation. Now, if you go back to 1 John again, we'll wrap it up here. But he says in chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. That's not being sinless without any sin. It's what? It's not habitual, open, blatant sin. Right? And if any man sin, there it is, we have an advocate with the Father. Again, that's a legal term, if you will. He's a go-between. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, the satisfactory payment, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of what? The whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Truth is not in him. People will often ask this, can you tell if someone's saved or not? And this is the portion that I often think about. There are saved people, you know that, that do live in sin. There are saved people that don't come to church. There are saved people, all of that. But I believe personally, truly, biblically, if you are truly saved, you have a great desire to do the commands of God. You know, you'd want it. People say they're saved and they have a foul mouth. They live an ungodly lifestyle. I think they're lying to themselves. And I think they're lying to God and other people, obviously. But he says here, we know that we know him. We know him. I know him. We have a relationship. You ever point to say, oh yeah, I know them. You don't really know them. He says, I know them. And you see this, I know God if we keep his commandments. We stay focused. We're doing what he's asked us to do. We're following the word of God. Let me say thirdly here, we can conquer our sins. And I love this. The secret is walking in the light. Walking in the light. Walking in the light means being sincere. Being sincere. Really, you know that without dishonesty, there's a clear sincerity within us. There's no need for that. There's no need for dabbling in darkness and other things. Walking in the light means obeying God's word. Clearly. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That's completed. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. It's not very hard to do. I mean, we're never going to be like Jesus in that regard, right? Sinless, but walk as he walked. How did Jesus walk? He left us an example, the Bible clearly says. In Hebrews in particular, he left us an example of how to walk. When reviled, reviled not again, but committed himself to God the Father, the will of God. We leave our lives to him, the will of God. Now, walking in the light means walking as he walked. This does not save, you know that. This cannot be done in self-effort. This is done by simply abiding in him. Yield step by step to him, seeking only to please him. Allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Yielding. Yield not to temptation. Anyone ever heard that old hymn? Well, we say, I think we just found it recently in the hymnal, one of this old hymn over here, and it's a good song. Man, it'll nail your hide to the wall. But yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. We yield. Well, I didn't act on it. No, but you yielded to it. We yield to sin. We've got to be careful about some of that. But again, allowing the Holy Spirit to control you and understanding that. Now again, he said, he that saith, verse 6, abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. Thinking about that, he says, I'm writing nothing new to you. You know all of this already. And it's sad to say Christians today know these things and they won't do them. They know not to do these. They know not to sin. They know, kids, you know not to say that to your parents and go there and be sinful in that. Right? And Tim, you know not to go there and say that and do that. But we do it, don't we? He says, nothing new, nothing new. And thinking through, you and I, how do we keep the real life that God's given to us, the Lord wants us to have? There must be truth, obedience, love. If we are to conquer the real enemy to the life that we want and God wants for us, we must be honest with ourselves, we must be honest with others, and especially with God. Especially with God. You must be honest with him. There's that conviction in your heart. Don't put it aside, but say, God, what is it that you want? And there's some things that I think about, I get kind of convicted about, or maybe, I shouldn't have done that. Bring it before God, because it may not be wrong. You know, I may not be wrong. It may not be sinful. And that's why you come all, filter everything back through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And there are other things that we must be careful. Confess your sin and allow, give it to him. Don't just admit it. Don't make excuses. But agree with God about it. We can lose fellowship. We can lose energy. We can lose our character, our testimony. We can lose the Word of God. And all those things that you know. But again, we must bring back that there and understand there's an enemy to this real life, an enemy. And that's what's dividing you and keeping you separated and keeping you from growing and developing as a believer is the sin, isn't it? It's just simple. And we'll deal with this old body and sinful behavior and sinful mindset until that last day we breathe our last breath, or God were to tragically maybe take us home. I pray He doesn't. Or especially He returns. We'll have to deal with it until then. Amen. But we can defeat it and stay on and focused with Him and walking in fellowship and in the light that He's given to us. I hope that you will, and stay in that light this week. Amen. Lord, thank you for an opportunity here to share your word, and what a wonderful opportunity we have, a challenging portion of Scripture to think about, that God, you desire for us fellowship, but you also desire sonship with us, and walking in that, it has to start, Lord, with admitting where we are. The very first step to salvation and a relationship with you is to admit where we are and admit who you are. That God, we are sinful and we need your cleansing and forgiving power, and we need your help. We need your love. We need your salvation. And from there, Lord, our walk continues through this life for many, prayerfully many decades. And as we do, Lord, we often will have to come and confess and forsake that sin that has kept us or hindered us. Help us to do so. But notice, Lord, that there is a real enemy to this life, this fellowship, and we want to keep it. We want us, Lord, to walk clearly in that light as you've commanded us to do. How we love and thank you, Lord, once again, be with these prayer requests mentioned tonight. Guide us this rest of our week, Lord. Again, direct our paths as we trust and look to you for an answer this week. We know that you'll provide it. We love and thank you and trust you. In Jesus' name, and amen.